This is the Country Focus podcast from BBC Radio Wales. To find out more about the programme, visit our website bbc.co.uk/Radio Wales. Hello and welcome to Country Focus. I'm Rachel Garside. For the first time in its 25-year history, the Mid Wales Opera Company is taking its tour into rural communities, adapting big productions for smaller stages like village and community halls, and giving a chance for people who live in the countryside to spend a night at the opera. Well, here at the Ystrad Gynlais Miners Welfare Hall, the stage is set, well, nearly set, we should say, because it's actually in the process of being put together now. Lights are being put up, a drum kit's being put together, and I'm joining the executive director of the Mid Wales Opera Company, Lydia Bassett. Lydia, what is tonight's performance?
We're exactly halfway through a tour of William Moulton's comic opera The Bear, which celebrates its 50th anniversary this year. So this is Mid Wales Opera's first small stages tour. It's specially designed to go to small theatres, churches, village halls where we can't normally tour. We've got a cast of three singers, which is as Walton originally wrote the piece, but we've reduced the orchestration down to five for touring on this scale, and our music director, John Linus, has done a new arrangement of the score so that we can put everything in a small van and bring the show to places where people could never normally bring live opera. So we've been to Aberdaron up in North Wales on the Ennis-Lothian Peninsula, three village halls in Montgomeryshire, and now we're in the very beautiful Miners Welfare Hall in Ystrad Gynlais.
This is a great venue, isn't it? It's bigger than I was thinking it was going to be, actually.
Yeah, it really is a proper theatre. It has technical staff and a manager. So for us on this tour, being here is a luxury, but because of the size of stage, there's no way we could normally bring our big productions here.
Does Mid Wales Opera actually have a home, a base somewhere?
Okay, nominally we have a base in Havren in Newtown, so that's the theatre where we produce our work, and we spend a week before each of our major spring tours in Newtown doing dress rehearsals. So we've kind of come from Havren in Newtown, but we're all sort of working from home.
And in terms of funding, how do you get your funding?
Okay, we're a revenue funded client of the Arts Council, so we have a core base of funding, but because of the level at which we're funded, we have enough money to pay some staff and to produce a show but not actually take it out on the road. So we apply for lottery funding to actually tour work, but this show has been separately funded, and it's been funded by the Foyle Foundation based in London and by the Ashley Family Foundation. They've each put in a substantial amount of money, and we've also got sponsorship from Control Techniques, the largest employer in Newtown where we're based.
Does this make it quite precarious for you as a company in terms of forward planning? Because you're never quite sure where the money's coming from.
We have a magnificent five-year plan in terms of repertoire, so we know exactly what we're doing for the next 5 years in terms of the shows we want to produce. But yes, we do need to find additional funding for each piece of work. We get quite a lot of support from trust funds based in London for our work with young artists. So 50% of our singers are under 30 or less than 3 years out of college, and we work with them as an integrated part of the performance, but we put in extra support for them in rehearsal and nurture them through the process of developing as artists. So we get some additional support for that.
And on this particular tour, was it important to keep ticket price down?
Yeah, so all of our tickets are around the £10 mark for this tour, because we're going to places where people don't expect to see opera. It's something which is new. There isn't a natural opera audience there. So we're keeping tickets around the £10 mark and lower in some places so that it is accessible and people can come along and come along for a night out, come and see a comedy, come for a fun night rather than come and see an opera with a capital O.
How have you been received in some of those smaller communities?
We've had a brilliant. The first three nights in Montgomeryshire were in association with our home theatre of Havren, and we have a really strong audience in Havren. We open our shows there in Newtown. So we normally have, we had 450 people for Magic Flute, which was our last main stage performance there. And we opened in Llandinum Village Hall, and we were pretty much sold out. And people are just amazed to have live opera very professionally sung and played in their village hall, where they can just walk home after a night out.
Because the alternative is to have to travel, but that's, you know, it's not that practical, is it, if you live in a rural community?
Well, our main stage tours in the spring, so next spring we're touring Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin, go to places like The Torch in Milford Haven and to Havren in Newtown and to Pontio in Bangor. So we do cover the whole of the country, but Wales being what it is and the roads being what they are, to go from somewhere like Aberdaron to Bangor for a night out is a lot of driving in the dark, and it's lovely to be able to take something smaller out to people so that they can come out for the evening and not drive for 2.5 hours to get home. And our mission has been to get within 40 miles of every community in Wales with this tour, and we've done it for everyone but St David's. So we're looking for somewhere in Haverford West or way out west that we can take a tour to next year and cover the whole of the country.
I'm looking forward to finding out from some of the people here behind us setting the stage just what it entails to bring this production to a venue like this. But how long have you personally been involved with Mid Wales Opera?
I've been working with Mid Wales Opera in my current job for only 18 months, and the same with our music director and artistic director, John and Richard. We're a fairly new team, but I have done a lot of Mid Wales Opera's education work in the past around Havren and Newtown, taking opera out to schools.
Again, that community approach, isn't it? Bringing the arts to people.
Yeah, I think that's really important for us, because to go and see live opera in Wales on a larger scale than what we're touring, really you'd probably have to go to Cardiff. Whereas because of the scale at which we tour, we can engage with people in their own venues. So we're working with choirs on the Eugene Onegin tour to put together choruses that will be with locally based people part of the show. And in Newtown we've worked with schools so that children can come along and do a performance on the Friday before we open on the Saturday and get their parents along to dress rehearsals for free so that they can actually come along and experience opera. And it's part of sort of removing this. It's not a stigma, it's a set of values attached to the word opera that sort of makes people think it's not for them. Whereas actually our audiences for this tour largely haven't seen an opera before, certainly haven't been to see anything on the scale of what WNO would perform, but they've come along and seen the show and really enjoyed it. And one gentleman in Clanbrook-Rhynion told me that he didn't think it was opera because it was really entertaining and really good fun. And that's the kind of thing you're dealing with. Opera is entertaining and it is really good fun, and the music is incredibly beautiful, but it's just getting people through the door, and once they're through the door, they'll absolutely love it. And that's what this tour is all about.
I'm sure it's no mean feat to stage an opera anywhere, let alone a smaller venue, but Cadwyn Hopton is the technician here at the Miners Welfare Institute. So you work here all the time, Cadwyn?
Yeah, I'm overseeing the productions coming in with touring companies and making sure we've got everything that they require. For this production, they don't actually need that much from me, so it's just basic lighting, and then we integrate the system with our system.
So you wouldn't have had an opera company here before, no?
No, in 14 years I've worked here, we've never had an opera company here, so a bit different for us here and for the people of Astrid, really. We do a lot of folk bands, world music as well. We also do plays, so do a wide range of stuff, and we do panto every year as well.
Of course.
Family audience.
Now, as the name of the venue would suggest, you know, yeah, this area's obviously got a very rich sort of industrial history, isn't it? I'm sure it's changed a great deal in more recent years, but I wonder how well are the arts supported here?
They're supported reasonably well here in Astrid. We're lucky to have a very supportive community and that do come out and support us very well. Next closest venue that does the bigger stream stuff is the Grand in Swansea, and then you're talking the Wales Millennium Centre and the New Theatre and the Sherman in Cardiff then with. So yeah, it's definitely bringing it local to people. So a lot of our community are the older generation that don't like driving that far, so it's nice for them to actually come to somewhere that's on their doorstep, so they haven't got far to travel home at the end of the night.
Now, Karen, although most of your work is in the wings, do you get to see the production?
Yeah, I'm lucky in a way, because these guys have toured in now. They've got their own technician tonight. I'll just sit up in the control room, watch the show.
You can sing along up there as well, can you?
I might crack a few windows, but I'm not that good a singer.
I've now made it up onto the stage. It's making me feel quite nervous, actually, even though I haven't got to perform myself. But it's much closer to the action, as it were, the set. There's a ladder here in front of me, and the person at the bottom of the ladder is Bridget Wallbank. Bridget, you're the production manager, aren't you, with Mid Wales Opera?
That's right.
What does that job entail?
Well, it's a multitude of things, really. My job would be to
take the design and make sure the building of it is realised as the designer wants it, to ensure that the whole of the production runs smoothly, to help with the scheduling and run the budgets. In this case, I'm also driving the van. I'm moving the set around and I usually put the lights up.
It's very hands-on, isn't it? How have you found on this tour, this scaling down business, so adapting the production for a smaller venue like this one?
Well, I've done a lot of touring of all sorts of different sizes of production. I used to work for a community theatre company, Theatre Powys, touring into venues very like the ones we're touring into with Mid Wales Opera on this occasion. And I love it. It's a challenge.
And I'm going to test you a bit now, because I'm interested to find out which of the venues you've been to. What are the locations on this tour? So Ystradgenlais tonight, but where else have you been?
Tonight, well, we've already been right up to the very end of the Theme Peninsula to a church in Aberdaron, St Hoins, which was on the beach, and the wind was blowing 50 or 60 mile an hour gusts outside. It was very exciting. And then we've been to Aberystwyth, into the Coliseum, which is the old music hall. We've also been to village halls round our local theatre at Theatre Havren. So we've did three village halls, Llandinum, Abermule and Llanfaicranian. Great response. Audiences are loving the fact that we're coming into their communities and bringing the show to them.
I've mentioned already that Mid Wales Opera is more than 25 years old now, and I understand you've been with them from the start, is that right?
Yes. Well, I was the stage manager on the very first show that Mid Wales Opera did, which I think was in 1989. It was the Magic Flute at Theatre Havren. I was working for Theatre Havren at the time, and this opera company came and said, can we do an opera in your theatre? And of course, we embraced it with open arms. And not long after that, I got married and started having children, wasn't working at the theatre anymore, but was still involved with Mid Wales Opera on and off. And my husband was the production manager for 20 years. And I took over from him. And here I am still. So
it's quite an achievement, isn't it, for any company to last that long, frankly, in this kind of current climate where the arts are being squeezed, you know, budgets are tight.
It really is. And the key thing with Mid Wales Opera has been adaptability. We're in a very good place to be doing that. In Mid Wales, we're not hidebound by what you're supposed to do with theatre and opera. We can build it in a village hall or in my yard at home, and it doesn't matter. It just makes it a lot easier for us. We're more free in that way. We've had a succession of different artistic teams. This is our third, and I think every time we've had a new team, it's given the company a new impetus, and it's been fantastic to be part of it, because it has had some ups and downs, and at the moment we're really on an up, which is fantastic.
Well, you might expect any company, theatre, opera, to have ups and downs, but how did the company actually start?
Well, I believe what happened was a local farmer and solicitor approached Barbara Maguire, who was a singing teacher at the Birmingham Conservatoire but lived in Mayford, north of Welshpool, and said, why don't you do an opera school for us round here? And they did a sort of summer school, and that was 1988. And then the following year, they thought, well, why don't we put on a full-scale opera like you do? And they realised that Theatre Havren was ready-made for them, because it has a pit and a really good stage. And they had students from the college came and sang in the chorus. They had a fully Welsh cast for Magic Flute, who came from all over Wales. They were pro-am, a lot of them, not necessarily professionals, but there were some young up-and-coming singers like Neil Davis, who's gone on to sing in the main opera houses. And from that, Mid Wales Opera was born. The following year, Welsh National Opera had just finished touring mid-scale. They used to tour into places like Theatre Havren, but they decided, for whatever reason, that they weren't going to do that anymore. And the Arts Council asked Barbara and Keith, would they consider touring their show? So that year, we did six dates round Mid Wales.
So it hasn't just been about giving people who live in rural areas the chance to come and see a performance, but also for people living in rural areas, the chance to perform as
well.
Absolutely.
In the early days, we had a chorus every year, partly made up of local singers or singers from Wales. And it's something that we're now recreating, but in a different way with our Eugene Onyegin. We're planning to have choruses from the localities taking part in the main production as well. So we've always wanted people to get involved. And we've done community shows, we've done scratch messiahs, a lot of different things that have been trying to get anybody to come and see opera.
So how much work have you got left before tonight's performance?
Maybe a couple of hours' work, and there'll be some rehearsal at
4:30 on stage as well. So
I didn't like to mention it, but I was wondering where the singers were.
Oh, they won't be here. They're called at 4:15 for rehearsal, and then the band are called, and then we'll have a tea break about 5:30, ready for the show at 7:30.
I better let you get on with it.
Thank you very much.
There is one musician here, Max Ireland, is very busy putting together, well, a whole percussion area, Max.
A whole section to myself, yes. This job does involve me getting here kind of 2 hours before anybody else, just to make sure that I'm set, because we never know with this small stages tour really how much space we're going to have, which is, you know, part of the fun of it, really.
How many instruments have you got here?
I think about 20. Field drum. We've got our snare drum. My favourite one. The ratchet, we've got some castanets. And then we've got the big timpani, but I've still got all of the covers on them, so.
You forgot the triangle.
Triangle, here we go.
Now, of course, as the saying goes, Max, what goes on tour stays on tour, but I wonder if you can give us a little insight into how this tour's gone.
Well, I think we've really had a good time. I mean, for me personally, I didn't know anybody in this company before coming to work here, and we all met a good 3 weeks ago now in Prestine, a place that I'd never been to before, never met anybody. But as soon as we entered the room, the set was all set up, the musicians, we came in, and then afterwards we all went for a pint. It's been lovely to meet some different people, really.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Gloucestershire. I'm based in Cardiff. I am purely a freelance musician, so I work for companies like Welsh National Opera and the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, do session band things for films and radio, and a bit of teaching as well. It's quite exceptional, really, how this has been scaled down. For a start, we've had an amazing arrangement done by John Linus. He's arranged this down from a full chamber orchestra to just 5 people. So for that to work is amazing in itself. I think as well, the fact that it's all done with one set, it looks fantastic. It's been great to take this to smaller venues. You know, you go to the big theatres and you have half an audience or whatever there. You take this to a hall that we've sold out of people that have never seen anything like this before, and they've really appreciated that Mid Wales Opera have taken the time to think about the community. I mean, I love opera, and for it to be brought to people that can't afford normally to go and pay £70 a ticket at the Wales Millennium Centre, it's been fantastic for them to come here and actually experience what is a really high-class product that we're providing for them.
Hi, my name's Jonathan Linus. I'm music director of Mid Wales Opera.
My name's Richard Studer, and I'm the artistic director of Mid Wales Opera.
His responsibility is everything you see, and my responsibility is everything you hear.
Yes, please, Max.
I guess the biggest challenge was probably in terms of designing a set that could be absolutely flexible. So this has been playing to churches, halls, miners' welfare, proper theatres, you name it. I needed to create something which could crush onto a tiny sort of 14-foot by 10-foot stage right up to big place like we are here in the welfare. I mean, there was obviously a financial and logistic element to the set design as well, and that it has to fit in a white transit van.
The feel I wanted was to have a sense of open space, a sense of Russia. There is a point in the score where they say, shall we go out into the garden? And it sounds mad, but we're playing the whole thing on a turf lawn through which we have these birch trees growing. And amongst that is a large backdrop of some rather beautifully painted wallpaper design holding the portrait of Nicholas, the dead husband.
So, Richard, what can we expect from the beer? Tell me a bit about the production.
A lot of laughs. It is a funny little piece, literally. We've got 3 fantastic comic actors. I mean, these days, singers can't just stand and park and bark. It's, you know, they've got to work hard for the audience response. And with Carolyn Dobbin, Matt Boswell, Adam Green, we've got an absolutely perfect trio. And you can see them loving every minute on stage. And that enthusiasm for the piece and for the comedy comes across to the audience.
You're the one that's always bawling.
Pay my money and I'll go.
You're a peasant.
You're appalling.
Leave my presence.
No. I mean, the show centres around Madame Popova, who is a youngish widow who has vows at the beginning of the opera to stay faithful to her deceased husband all her life, never to stray. The action is interrupted by Smirnov, who is the bearer of the title, coming in to demand debts to be repaid from her late husband. And they row. She's got no money, he's got no money. They argue, they're both feisty. There's a duel, and it ends happily ever after. But the funny thread throughout the whole piece is that we learn more and more about the deceased husband whose portrait is hanging on the wall. He wasn't a great man, and there really is no reason for her to be faithful to him in death.
It's written for a chamber orchestra of about 30. Originally it was conceived for about 17 or 18, and then Walton, the composer, expanded it to about 30 players or so. So for this we've got five of us. It's considerably less, but again, that's part of the nature of this enterprise. We're not going to big opera houses. We're not even going to medium-scale opera houses. We're going to small venues. So we needed a small group of musicians to work alongside the singers. So for this, I've selected five instruments, of which I am one, and I have four others joining me. So there's no conductor. It's just the five of us playing alongside our three singers. It's very intimate. It's also quite challenging because we're working effectively as a chamber group. There's no one actually cracking the whip out front. So we all have to listen to each other and work with each other all the way through the show. And that's been really quite challenging.
I think that bit felt that I was trying to hold it and you were pushing on a bit. Yeah.
The wonderful thing about seeing opera this close up, with having musicians on view and having singers very close to the audience, means that the audience are not seating as they usually are, sort of 400 feet away. And hearing the sound from an orchestra which is hidden away in a pit and seeing singers where they can see their movements but can't really see their expressions. Here, it's very close. You see everything. So as a member of the audience, I think one is truly engaged.
It's been really wonderful so far. I mean, I've always had a thing for sort of working within communities, and I've loved doing outreach work in schools and working at venues where the audience are as close as they are here. And to sort of combine community theatre with opera and do something that is very unique in our sort of field. I mean, there are companies such as Scottish who load up a minibus with opera singers and do sort of concert-style things, but we really are the first of the sort of funded companies to go out with full production at this scale to venues of this size.
The singers do what we call a quick walkthrough of the entire show. And it's quite something to watch in its own right, literally walk and mouth their roles, as in a kind of a sped-up silent movie. It's fantastically entertaining. Lots of us sit back in the stalls and watch. We'll then, with the musicians, rehearse a few bits, do a sound check, check the balance, and then we'll go off and have a meal and come back and do the show.
I think it's better to go into that bit. Can we just do pop?
I'm Carolyn Dobbin, and I'm singing the role of Madame Popova.
And I'm the bear, and so I'm Adam Green.
I'm Matt Boswell, and I'm playing the part of the manservant, Luca.
It's been really lovely, actually, because I've managed to drive through some of the most gorgeous scenery I think I've ever seen, and then arriving at somewhere I've never been before, but it's like an adventure. You don't know what you're going to get, you know? And some places have been absolutely gorgeous and quaint and charming. So I get to do the two most beautiful things that I like doing, like singing this gorgeous role and sing stunning scenery, so I can't ask for a better time.
Yeah, I haven't been to any of these places in Wales before. So it's an adventure, as well as just an opportunity to sing an opera in places that don't necessarily have the opportunity to hear this kind of music that often.
And does it feel like you're sort of bringing opera to the people?
Oh, absolutely, because I think a lot of the crowds, you know, they sort of rock up at the last minute. In a small village, for example, not very much happens. They see some commotion going on and they tend to kind of rock up. And so that's lovely. And I think it's the type of opera that would appeal to most people as well, because it's funny, it's a comedy.
Is it quite rare to have the opportunity to do something like this?
The piece especially is not often performed, and something where you're having to adapt so regularly. So if we're doing five shows in a week, every day we turn up to a new venue in a different place, and each venue has its kind of pros and cons. So from that point of view, it is quite different.
Do you have to adapt your performance because the venue's smaller?
I don't think so. We try and do the same job every night, really, whether it's a sort of windswept seaside town or a stately home with a nice hall. I mean, the idea is to try and keep it constant. Opera comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes, so sometimes you sing with a full orchestra, sometimes with just a piano. So this is a sort of halfway between the two.
Two tickets for Phillips.
The programmes are here. If you'd like one, they're £1.50.
Have you travelled far to come here tonight?
Swansea, Llangavella. We come here for various things, and we read the write-up, and we sort of appeal to it, and we do go to different operas. We're not avid opera fans. Pete's more into opera than I am, but I do like production. Yes,
there's tickets on the box office.
Have you travelled far to come here tonight?
From Cotterbrig, 4 miles down the valley.
Do you enjoy opera?
I've not been to opera before. It's a starter for me. Although it's only a short one, so we'll see how it goes. Well, it sounded interesting, and I thought, well, it is local, yes, and convenient for the buses, because I'm totally dependent on the buses up here. There's only one an hour, so, you know, you have to time everything. But it looks like an interesting programme, and I thought, make a night out. Why not?
Enjoy it.
No, we've been really looking forward to it, and we haven't heard this opera company before, so we're very intrigued.
Are you an opera fan?
No, I wouldn't say. We don't see many, no. The ones I have seen, I have loved, but I'm afraid we're a bit lazy about going. But it's lovely to have them on our doorstep.
To me, it's a new opera. I've never heard of it before. I'm not a huge opera fan, but I'm looking forward to this one. It looks a bit different. It's not long, is it? It's quite short, I hope.
Programmes are here at 1.50.
Thank you very much. Well, members of the audience have started to arrive here at the Miners' Welfare Hall in Ystrad Genlais. The singers and the players have all gone to their dressing rooms, and it's not long now before curtain up. Lydia, it's all hands on deck, and here you are in the foyer selling programmes.
Yes, most general managers or executive directors of operas probably don't sell programmes, but there are only four of us and we are part-time. And also I interview the audience afterwards. It's really important for us, specifically for this tour, to know who's coming along, why they're coming along, how far they've come, and what's different about the small stages tour as opposed to our normal main stage performances. So we just want to get closer to the audience and understand why people are coming.
We're already getting a sense that people are really appreciative of the fact that you've come to their community.
Yeah, that's what this tour is all about. So the idea is that we will build audiences for the larger shows, but also take live opera to places where you wouldn't normally see it.
Now, you're around halfway through this tour, but what's next for the company?
Our next tour is our main stage tour in the spring, which is Tchaikovsky's Eugene Onegin, a completely different exercise to this. So we're touring with an orchestra of 15. That tour will open in Havren in Newtown on February the 28th, but it's also going to Milford Haven, to Theatre Cloyd, in Mould, to larger theatres with a larger stage that can take a performance of that scale.
It's been absolutely fascinating to watch the process from the set being put in place to the rehearsals and now anticipating the performance itself. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's time for me now to go and find my seat in the auditorium, and my thanks to the Mid Wales Opera Company for letting us have a look behind the scenes. And that's it for this week from me, Rachel Garside, and the Country Focus team. Thank you for your company. You can hear Country Focus every Sunday morning on BBC Radio Wales at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening.